RadioInfluence.com.
Why, Crusher, it's good to see you.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
All right, everybody. Hey, welcome to Crush Performance. I am Jeff Crushell, the con man behind the glass, keeping us on track. And we're your weekly source for performance information. If you want to get in touch with us, do so. You can go to our website, crushperformance.com. On Twitter, you can follow me at Jeff Crush. And on the social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, and our cool new YouTube channel, you can check out Crush Performance. Hey, as you can hear in the background, we are live on location at the grand opening of United Sport and Cycle's West End Community Store. It is a carnival-like atmosphere down here. All right, a really big show today. Lots going on. We're going to talk about the NFL draft. We're going to look at multi-sport athletes, and we're going to talk to some of the experts down here at United Sport and Cycle about equipment and some of the new technology for the summer season. Conman, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Crush. A little quieter back here, but doing very good, thanks.
I bet, man. I bet. But the action, this is where the action is, man. You got to get down here. It's been a ton of fun. Hey, listen, I know that you covered the NFL draft quite closely, and you are one of the biggest NFL fans and analysts that I know. I've been really looking forward to getting the opportunity about asking you your impressions of the NFL draft.
You know, I thought it was very interesting. A few surprising picks that kind of threw a little bit of a wrench into a few teams' plans, I'm sure. Looking at Cleveland Farrell for the Oakland Raiders, the defensive end out of Clemson. A lot of people had him going later on in the draft, so the Raiders taking him threw some people off. Daniel Jones, of course, second quarterback taken by the New York Giants, was a little bit surprising as well. So overall, I think it pretty much went as expected. There was a lot of players on the defensive front seven that went in the first round that were very highly touted and expected to go that high. But a few surprising picks as well. So it was a fun night to watch the draft. Yeah, you're right. I get really into it. I watch all 3 days. I become kind of sheltered at that point. I'm locked in.
You were locked in. Hey, so let's pull back the curtain on this, Conman, you know, because I'm really interested because some of those picks were incredibly unexpected. What do you think the mindset of those teams might be when they go sort of off the grid and maybe away from what might be the, favorite or the conventional thought pattern in terms of what player they're going to pick?
You know what? I think it's just these scouts or general managers saying that that's the guy they want. That's the pick, and they think he's going to fit their system for whatever the reason might be. A lot of people brought it up, but with Cleveland Farrell, he was expected to go maybe late first round. I know Pro Football Focus had him as their 35th ranked prospect. The Oakland Raiders took him fourth overall. So at first it was surprising, but you know, you look at a guy who was going to fit into that scheme. He won national titles at Clemson, so he knows what it takes to be a champion. And their general manager, Mike Mayock, was widely considered one of the best talent evaluators out there. So had he not been with the Oakland Raiders and still been working on the NFL Network where he had been the previous decade and said that Cleveland Farrell was his third-ranked edge rusher, nobody would have batted an eye with his selection. So he likes that player, and he goes out and does it. And I think that's a very similar thing for the New York Giants. The explanation we got from their team, maybe not as convincing, but they've liked Daniel Jones. They have a guy in Eli Manning right now who can play for the next few years. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think if a general manager sees his guy, goes and gets him, who are we to judge? That's what they think is the right move for their franchise, and ultimately they'll be face the consequences of it down the road.
Yep, I like it, and I agree with you 100%. I don't really like all this negative talk around the Giants pick in particular because, hey, here's a great young player who that organization liked at that point in time, and it probably fills a need for that roster as well, especially as they move forward. So I guess for me, from the Crush Performance standpoint, we watch with great interest. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, hey, I mean, we could see these guys be bust. That happens all the time in the NFL, especially. Sometimes you go from a really great NCAA program where you have success, you go to the pros, and it doesn't work out that way. So down the road, if it, you know, these guys fall on their face and it doesn't work out, then I think in hindsight you can look back and say, yeah, clearly that was a bad selection. But right now, I think you've got to be a little bit more optimistic.
Yeah, I agree. And optimism is exactly the place you need to be at this time of year. And think about these young players as well, what they've gone through to create the opportunity of going in the NFL draft, period. First round, second round, doesn't matter. But are you kidding me? What a great thing for these young players. And if you look back and listen to some of their stories, the road to getting there is not always easy. So kudos to everybody that went in the draft. I thought it was fun to watch. The NFL, Connor, does a really, really good job of showcasing this new generation of talent, don't they?
Absolutely. Having the top prospects come down there. And, you know, I think the whole NFL network, it just pumps out the content nonstop. The combine becomes an event. The pro days, they always have those televised for the big name players. And then every day, I think it's a path to the draft show. So you're starting to learn more and more about these prospects. They always have those nice little snips, just the behind the scenes, a little backstory on the players, and really hyping up the stories if they've gone through some adversity. And they really draw you in with that. And then, of course, draft days followed by rookie mini camps. It's just a year-round business.
Yeah, it sure is. And it is a big business. It's no wonder they're such a powerhouse when it comes to the sporting industry. NFL, despite all the issues they're facing, they're just getting bigger and stronger and bigger and stronger. And let's face it, they're pretty bound by the borders of the U.S. and Canada. I mean, outside of North America, there's not a big appetite for American-style football. So, you know, in this, in this region, in this geographical region, they're really, really doing some special things. And they continue to grow.
Yeah, and I mean, they do have the London series, so there's a game, I think four or five games every year that are being played in Wembley Stadium in London, so they are trying to grow the game, and I watch those games very early in the morning when they play, and they do typically sell out, so it's very cool. I think the NFL might be admitting failure with the Canadian game. They've stopped playing games in Toronto, which is a shame for the Canadian fans that like to go check that one out. But last year, there was a game scheduled for Mexico. Unfortunately, due to conditions, it wasn't played. And this year upcoming, the Kansas City Chiefs take on the Los Angeles Chargers in Mexico. So they are trying to grow the game. It's a slow process, but they are trying.
Yep. Well, the commissioner's shot across the bow is to be a $20 billion industry. I think they're at 11 or 12 billion in revenue last year for sure. So they're doing a great job, no question about it. And of course, what a dream for a young player. And there are some really, really special storylines in this year's NFL draft. And as everybody knows who listens to the show, we like to watch and learn. We like to look at sports. We like to look at the players and the storylines and see what we can learn from what's going on, because there are great things to learn from watching the pro guys play. But I was really intrigued, Connor, by the number one overall draft pick. Again, it wasn't a big surprise by any means, but I think for people that might not be familiar, it was a historical pick for a number of reasons. One, of course, going first overall, I think was a big move, but to be drafted in the first round of the Major League Baseball draft by the Oakland A's and to go first overall in the NFL, that's a historical pick, and we just haven't seen that before.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been a while since we've seen an athlete that could potentially, you know, be top ended in both sports, taken ninth overall by the Oakland Athletics. And you have to wonder, had it not been for the potential of him playing football, could he have gone even higher? It was very intriguing to see that Kyler Murray's agent and people had spoke to the Athletics organization about money and seeing what would happen, maybe not getting the guarantees that they would in football, opting for that. And, you know, that's the Arizona Cardinals' gain. He's a heck of a player, great talent, and with what they're building there, maybe not the best offensive line, his mobility is going to come in huge. You're seeing what those guys with a baseball background have done. Patrick Mahomes, some of the throws that he can make. I think there's going to be the expectation that Kyler Murray can do the same thing. So he's a unique athlete. He's very special. A little bit undersized, so you worry about that. But he's going to be a guy to watch heading into this next NFL season.
Yeah, no question about it. Kyler Murray, of course, being a very, very special pick. And I think there's a lot to learn here for everybody, for parents especially. If we look at the trends now that we're seeing in collegiate and, of course, professional sport, it's almost exact opposite of what's happening at the developmental levels. We're seeing more and more, as everybody knows, specialization and early specialization in sport. We're going to be talking here coming up in the next segment about multi-sport athletes. And Kyler Murray is a great, great example of this. Here is a kid that was a highly touted commodity in Major League Baseball. He signed for $4.66 million, ninth overall by the Oakland A's in the Major League Baseball draft, first overall by the Cardinals in the NFL draft. And I think this is an important message, Connor, especially as we're seeing, you know, this real move towards early specialization at the grassroots level. There's a message here that multi-sport athletes are really, really being recognized at the professional and collegiate level right now. So that's something for parents and athletes to keep in mind.
And I wonder, just, you know, with this, are these NCAA schools going to have to adapt and start to allow these players to do both? I know, looking back, I think it was, would have been the early 2000s, Antonio Gates had wanted to play football and basketball at the University of Michigan and was told he could. It ended up not happening because Coach Saban, who was there, said, no, we want you to stick to one sport, and it should be football. So he ended up transferring out of that school, went to Kent State, played basketball, and then eventually came on to be a, you know, all-pro tight end in the NFL. For Kyler Murray, it was almost like, yeah, go ahead, play both sports because we want you in our program. And, you know, he helped them both out, playing at Texas A&M and then Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's interesting. And, you know, I really like this story. And I think Kyler Murray, his parents, he's got some really good support structures around him. He signed with the Oakland A's, again, for $4.66 million. One of the caveats, though, typically when a player signs with a team, they get put right into the system right away. Either they're down in the low A or they're instructional league or invited to spring training. But Kyler Murray's caveat was this: I'll sign only if I can go back and finish my final year in football at Oklahoma. He goes back, wins the Heisman, goes first overall in the NFL. It's a fairy tale story. There's no question about it. But it's really, really important that he had that option. And I agree with you. Here's a big question. And maybe this takes us to our text question of the day. I have two questions now, Connor, I guess. And you brought up a good one. Will we ever see another Bo Jackson? Could this ever happen in today's landscape? Let's get to that in a minute. And the crush text question of the day, everybody, if you want to get to us, 101260 is the text line. Get to us, please. The question is, who is the greatest multi-sport athlete that you can remember? Getting back to my first question, Connor, do you think we'll ever see another Bo Jackson, kind of what you referred to earlier on, a really serious multi-sport athlete at the professional level?
At the professional level, no. I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, I think collegially you'll still see it because, as we know, they don't get paid. But when you start to investing, and just let's use Kyler Murray for example, if his career pans out the way that the Arizona Cardinals want it to, that's going to be a guy they're investing million or hundreds of millions of dollars into. You're not going to let him play baseball, you know, even the chance that he gets hurt, has a wrist injury, whatever it might be, shoulder, leg. You just couldn't do it. It's just too much money that you have invested into him, and I'm sure there would be stipulations in the contract that don't allow him to play any other professional sport. So, in my opinion, we'll never see it again.
Yeah, and I'm with you. It's unfortunate because I personally would love to see it, man. I really, really, truly would. And I've seen some of the pro contracts, and, you know, these guys can't ride bikes. They can't go water skiing. They can't go snow skiing. You know, they can't walk on a dirt trail when there's a sidewalk available. Like, you know, some of these contracts are really, really restricting, and rightfully so. These guys are very, very valuable commodities to their organization, and it does no good if they're hurt, right?
Exactly. And like you've said, I mean, the sports we've seen, professional athletes get hurt playing just a game of pickup basketball. You just can't afford it in this day and age. And it's too bad because you'd love to see a guy like Kyler Murray, when he's available, just go play a little shortstop for the Oakland Athletics. Just do what Dion used to do or Bo. It's too bad. And from, you know, the flip side, I mean, I don't think the Oakland Athletics would be comfortable giving him a huge deal and then letting him go play football in a position where, you know, the opposition's job is to hit him. It wouldn't work out, unfortunately.
Yep. No, and it doesn't work in a lot of sports for sure. Hey, everybody, listen, we're going to cut out for a quick break here. Again, we're coming to you live from United Sport and Cycles, grand opening of the West End Community Store. When we come back on Crush Performance, we're going to continue our conversation on the multi-sport athlete. We're going to get into our question, the greatest multi-sport athlete of all time, and we're going to talk about specialization. So stick around, everybody. We'll be back with more right after this on Crush Performance.
If you have any performance questions, comments, or smart remarks, text Crusher at 101260 and follow him on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Now, here he is, the Crusher.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Jeff Crichel here, the con man behind the glass, keeping you on track. And hey, yes, we are live from United Sport and Cycle. But Connor, we're just coming back from a very interesting conversation about the NFL's number one pick, Kyler Murray, and this new trend in collegiate sport and professional sport towards multi-sport athletes, which is exact opposite of what we're seeing at the developmental levels. At the developmental levels, specialization is taking over. And here's one thing I just want to say for everybody who's listening. Specialization for a young athlete is a dangerous, dangerous game to play. It really does limit the development of your athlete. It also can limit the top end ceiling of potential, if that makes sense. And Connor, I think it's a really interesting trend that we're seeing, and I really do hope that the message trickles down to the grassroots level.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's something you've kind of preached on this show for years, and anytime we've spoke to athletes and about that topic, it's, you know, don't specialize in one, develop different types of traits. And I think that's something we've seen, at least for me, from coaching the kids that I coach these days, doing all sorts of different things. It's not just soccer. They're playing other sports, whether it be dance, tennis, things like that. And you can, it shows. It shows in the athletes. You can see the ones that do more sports compared to the ones that focus on just one.
Yep, absolutely. And of course, you know, from a psychological standpoint, it gives a young athlete more options. And certainly, if your passion is hockey or baseball or basketball or soccer, your off-season sports can really round you out as an athlete and help you play and aspire in the sport you're passionate about. Getting time away from a sport is so important. Here's a quick story for you. I was down at a baseball academy here in Canada that I help out, and I've been involved with these guys for 12 years. For me personally, it's the best developmental high school baseball program on the planet. It's Vauxhall Academy of Baseball. And I was down there in the fall, just as the guys were finishing up their fall season, heading into the winter. And we had a classroom meeting one night, and one of the players came to me and said, "Hey, Jeff, listen, I'm going to be late for the meeting. And I got a call with a college coach that I really, really hope it works out." I said, go, man, do your call." And Connor, it couldn't have worked out perfect. I was sitting there talking to the guys about the off-season or off-season approach, you know, the timeline for the weight room and agility and rebuilding them, you know, in the off-season. And the player comes in about 20 minutes into the team meeting, and I asked him, hey, how did the call go? He was all smiles. He goes, "Oh, I think it's going to work out." And I said, "Hey, listen, did that coach ask you how many sports you played?" And he kind of stopped, and he looked at me, and he goes, "What did you say?" I said, did the coach ask you? I'm just wondering if the coach asked you how many sports you played as a kid." He goes, "That was the first question the coach asked me." He says, "How did you know that?" I said, "We're hearing it more and more at the collegiate level, also in the scouting level in professional sports." Isn't that interesting, Connor?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, for some people, you can't paint it with such a broad brush. We're saying it's better for everyone. I think Connor McDavid's pretty famously said in Edmonton that, you know, other sports he wasn't very good at. Hockey was kind of his thing. But, you know, I think for sure there's just different skill sets that come with playing different sports. And, you know, I bet they didn't even need to ask him that question. I bet it just by watching, you could tell.
Yeah. Yep. And I think so. And yeah, it's an interesting point you make about Connor McDavid. You know, I've been involved, of course, with Major League Baseball here over the last few years, the International Development Program. And some of these kids have been all in to one sport. We see it in soccer. We certainly see it in hockey. And listen, maybe sometimes, Connor, you're absolutely right. The kids are so passionate about a sport. We don't want to take them away from a sport, but to give them other interests. We were just talking about having other interests outside of your sport, and maybe it's photography, maybe it's art, maybe it's music. We've got some high-end athletes that have taken up guitar or drums in their free time, and it's been such a great out for them to get away from the sport. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a sport, but we do know that through those developmental ages, playing multiple sports can really round out your abilities. And just to give everybody a few stats out there, if you're doubting what we're saying here, because I think, you know, for a lot of parents and for a lot of the programs out there, they do it with the best of intentions. You know, it kind of makes sense if you have a young athlete that loves hockey to go all in year-round hockey, give them the best opportunity, the best coaching to really get involved and pursue that sport, right? So it makes some sense. But here's some stats coming at you. If you look at the 2018 draft, NFL draft, Garner, which you and I talked about to great lengths last year, of the 32 players drafted in 2018, 29 were multi-sport athletes in high school. And if you go back to Urban Meyer's, and again, we'll leave all the other stuff aside, but if you go back to Urban Meyer's famous post, Twitter post from 2015, of his 47 recruits that year, five only were football specialized. 42 of the athletes he recruited that year were multi-sport athletes. So there's just two really good examples to how the trends are going in football, Connor.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think that, you know, when you're in high school and you're a all-star football player, whatever it might be, the other coaches notice, right? Like, oh, that guy can really jump. He's quite the athlete. Maybe he should be playing basketball as well, or vice versa. Maybe it's a basketball player that gets recruited to the football team. And, you know, just that having that general athleticism can translate. You can be pretty much a good player in any sport if you are an elite-level athlete. But then the skills you build from that is where it really takes off.
Yep, absolutely, man. And here's one other stat that I wanted to share with everybody out there. We're going to be talking more about this in upcoming shows, but I have to put this out there because it's a study that came out of the Journal of Orthotics and Sport Medicine, Orthopedics and Sport Medicine, in 2019. This just came out a couple months ago, and it was a look at specialization in NCAA athletes. And so they surveyed and polled a whole bunch of NCAA athletes, and the numbers are very, very telling. 94.7% of NCAA athletes who are on scholarship were multi-sport athletes in their developmental years. 45 of those were playing multiple sports up to age 16. And here's one other interesting thing that came out of that study. Athletes involved in team sports specialized at 15.5 years, and individuals who were playing individual sports, tennis, golf, swimming, etc., specialized a little earlier at 14 years. So for athletes looking to get to college and for parents who are, you know, trying to help, you know, wade their way through the developmental sporting world right now, this is just some very interesting trends we're seeing. And frankly, Connor, I'm really happy about it.
And why do you think the what led to these trends?
Yeah, well, here, you know what I think it is, and I'm going to be quite blatant for you. We're going to, again, we're going to take a deep dive into this. So I'm going to put this shot across the bow right now. If we look back at some of the injury rates that we're seeing and some of the issues that we're seeing in developmental sport, as a matter of fact, up to 13 years of age, we're seeing the highest dropout rates in organized sport that we've ever recorded. It's up to 70% in some areas. And again, we have to really be careful of those numbers. Some kids are moving from sport to sport. Some kids are specializing for sure, but the dropout rates are very high. Burnout and injuries and not having fun are the greatest reasons there. But Connor, I'll answer your question. I believe that when youth sports started getting privatized and all these warehouses and training shops and travel clubs and year-round clubs started, we started getting into a very dangerous path for a developmental sport where it was almost impossible not to specialize, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, what's going to happen is you're going to have that pressure from the clubs to stick around year-round, and some players are going to do it, and your son or daughter might feel like, if I don't put in the same amount of time as little Jill or Bob, then I'm going to fall behind.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So getting back to our text question of the day, text us 101260, who is the greatest multi-sport athlete? And I will pose that question to our guests. Scott Stevenson from Sparrow Outfitter joins us. Scott, if I were to throw that question at you, what name would come to mind?
Off the top of my head, Bo Jackson is the first name that comes to mind.
Ah, Bo. Bo knows, right?
Well, there's other guys that did football and baseball. I just think that Bo did it better.
Yeah, I agree. And he was dominant in both sports and some of the plays. He's a highlight reel in both sports, most certainly, for sure. Listen, Scott, we're down to the grand opening of United Sport and Cycle's West End Community Store. And one of the things I really like about United Cycle is the passion they put into educating their staff about the technology and the equipment that's coming out. And you're a big part of that. Of course, when we talk baseball bats, of course, with the baseball season here, you wouldn't think that the baseball bat itself could change a lot, but I'm really liking some of the trends we're seeing, especially in the Easton product line.
Yeah, well, our bat engineers always like to think that they can change the bat every year, but well, sometimes it doesn't always happen. But we do have something new out this year called the Power Boost Soft Knob, currently found in our BB Core lineup. So it's for your Bantam AA Midget House League kind of players, the older players in Canada. In the U.S., it's high school, college, so that's obviously where the mass market is being driven. But the idea behind the Power Boost Soft Knob originally was actually as an injury prevention idea.
Love it.
So by softening the knob, having a rubber on them, it's actually the same durometer rubber they use in F1 race tires. It just lessens the impact that goes into your hamate bone.
I dig that.
Right?
That's cool into itself.
Yeah, it is cool. But by lessening that impact into your hamate bone, at the elite levels, guys are breaking their hamate bones swinging a bat. Right? When we're talking more of that bantam midget level, usually it's not breaking, usually it's bruising, but it's still an injury, and it's preventing them from performing at their highest level. So by having this soft knob, it allows us to keep guys on the field longer and performing at max performance longer.
I have seen hamate bones break, and it is a terrible, terrible injury because it's such a small little thing that takes players out of the game, and it can destroy seasons, not just for a player, but for entire teams, right?
Yeah.
So I really like this technology. So we're seeing it on the aluminum bats for all ages right now?
No, right now it's just for the high school, college age group players. I actually literally just got back from our sales meetings for next year's product, and we will have it on youth and fast pitch bats next year as well.
Excellent stuff. And how about the pro guys? Because I've got to think, listen, I'm actually quite angry that I didn't think of this, because you know we've actually dealt with guys and we tried to put tape on there, we tried to put foam tape on there, but none of that is enough to really help these guys out. For the pro guys,
right?
Are we going to see it with wood bats in the near future?
I hope so. I know things are they're working on it. It's a lot trickier trying to put this technology into a wood bat than it is to put it onto a bat that's being manufactured. But yeah, I anticipate we'll probably see something, whether it's next year or the year after, I can't tell you, but definitely keep your eyes open. Yeah. It's probably on its way.
Anything that can help with player safety and athlete health, I'm on board. This is a great, great new twist on the baseball bat. I like this trend, Scott. Congratulations, Easton, and everybody there.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Awesome. Great. All right. That's Scott Stevenson from Sparrow Outfitters down at United Sport and Cycles West End Community Store. Scott will be here all day if you want to come down. You can swing that bat in the cages right now. You can also ask Scott if it's the right thing for you. I love this technology. Connor, you and I have talked about this at length. Anything that helps an athlete stay healthy is right up our alley.
Yeah. And I mean, it really just benefits everybody. The owners are going to want it, the players, the trainers. It's kind of crucial. Anything you can get to help that out, it's good by me.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, we see it also in terms of the injury rates in sport. Specializing and being a diverse athlete also decreases your risk of injury, and that has a lot to do with the overuse injuries. I've done a couple seminars here recently talking about specialized athletes, and regardless of the sport, football maybe a little less, but we all know the issues of multiple contacts and the concussion issues and the injury issues, most of which are happening in the practice times. So we're really trying to monitor and change how we practice in football. But for our other sports and for our specialized athletes, one of the big issues that we do see, Connor, is the overuse injuries that come with just doing the same thing over and over, especially for the one-sided sports. We look at our golfers, we look at our baseball players, our tennis players, and believe it or not, our quarterbacks and our curlers, as well as our hockey players. If you're a right-handed shot, we have as much asymmetry and posture imbalances in our hockey players as we do in our baseball players, believe it or not, and a lot of people don't think about that when they specialize in one sport. I'm starting to see drastic structure changes in the young skeletons of 10, 11, 12 year olds right now, and that's because of that early specialization. And we know that one of the trends we're seeing in terms of those dropout rates, the reason kids are dropping out is because of burnout and injuries. So again, another reason to really think about taking your off season or a portion of your annual program and dedicating it to another sport or preparing your body for your sport. Connor, does that make sense at all?
Of course, absolutely. I mean, I follow a lot of these athletes on social media, and you're starting to see a lot of football players going into yoga and just doing that in the off season. And you know, obviously, you have to still go back and do your lifts, and you have to report to the mandatory workouts and things like that. But just something different, you know, stretching, working on your flexibility, things like that. And I think it's a good idea. Doing the same movements year round, year after year, is obviously eventually going to catch up to you. More specifically in sports, I think like tennis and golf and, you know, baseball, you can't do batting practice every day. But I think that's probably something that as we start to collect these statistics and the numbers and realize that it's a problem, these sports are going to have to adapt.
Yep, absolutely. And you mentioned something really interesting about the yoga, Connor. So two things I just want to throw out there for everybody to listen to. If you go back to a show we had with Dana Santez, she is an elite yoga instructor, works with a lot of pro teams in baseball, hockey, and in football as well. We had her on talking about the approach for yoga. You have to be careful with yoga because it can be incredibly stressful. So you have to, if you're an athlete in season, it can also be very therapeutic. So you have to be careful that it doesn't cause more fatigue or the wrong type of fatigue, but it also is a way to help athletes deal with anxiety and stress. We know that one of the biggest reasons that athletes are getting injured right now is anxiety. It's the number four reason for injuries in Major League Baseball in 2018, believe it or not. So we're constantly looking at ways to help our athletes deal with the stress of professional sports because it's everywhere. And just for anybody out there who's dealing with anxiety, whether you're an athlete or not, you're not alone. We're all looking for answers. And quite honestly, if you're trying to do something exceptional or just dealing with anxiety, there are some strategies you can use to help deal with it. And yoga's one of them, just the breathing patterns. And a lot of it comes back to getting good sleep, Connor, that recovery and regeneration that everybody at Crush Performance here is so passionate about. Dana Santez had a really, really good strategy. We'll leave this as a final comment for this segment. With her athletes, when they have trouble sleeping, she'll get them and out of their beds, just doing a very therapeutic sequence of yoga moves. But more importantly, it has to do with how they're breathing. So what she asks her athletes to do is take big, deep, diaphragmatic breaths. And while they're doing it, they're counting backwards from 20. Typically, you know, we don't count backwards, so it takes a little more effort in terms of our minds to count backwards. It gets them off of what they're thinking about. And so what would happen is you take a deep breath in, you think of the number 20, you breathe out, and in comes 19. The big breath in, and so on, so on. And it works really, really well. So getting your sleep and recovery can help you not only deal with your sleep patterns and your recovery, it can also help you deal with anxiety. It was a great conversation with Dana Santos, if you remember that one, Connor.
Yeah, I do. And maybe that's something we have to grab a couple of clips or even have her back on the show just to kind of talk about that. And it's very true. And just from the players that I saw, a lot of it was the breathing. And it seems like it's something that'd be so simple, but it can go a long way.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, listen, we got to cut out for a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation on the multi-sport athlete. And we're going to talk about some of the athletes who ventured into other sports to see how they did. So stick around. Lots more Crush Performance right after this.
You're listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Jeff Kershaw here, the con man behind the glass, keeping us on track. Hey, we're down at United Sport and Cycles, grand opening of the West End Community Store, family owned for 90 plus years, which is special unto itself. So come on down. We're having a great time. We'll be here till closing. All right, getting back to the show. A real important conversation when we talk about specialization in multi-sport athletes, Connor. Let's take another twist here. Looking at some of the athletes, con man, who have ventured into other sports after their sporting career. Does anybody come to mind to you? I've got two or three that hasn't quite worked out for, but does anybody come to mind?
Well, I mean, the one that first comes to mind is Michael Jordan, of course.
Yeah,
and it was, you know, during his career, he kind of stepped away from basketball to go play baseball for the year, and that one didn't work out too well. Deion Sanders is another guy for me that always stands out. He did a pretty good job. One that I used to watch back in the day, and he was very, very athletic and a great player when he played football in the NCAA, was Pat White. He ended up going to the Eskimos for a little while, but he was drafted by the Kansas City Royals as well. So those guys stand out to me.
Yeah, I agree. And I totally respect these guys that want to venture into other sports because it's not easy, everybody. I want to just talk right now quickly about Tebow and, of course, his venture into baseball with the Mets. He hasn't cracked the big leagues yet. They say there's the potential there, but he hasn't been able to hit. His fielding probably isn't the best, but to get to that level of sport, Connor, it's pretty special. You've got to be good. I mean, you look at John Smoltz now, actually doing pretty good taking up golf. And then, of course, Usain Bolt playing soccer is another guy that comes to mind recently. I think he's done with soccer now, but taking that speed into the game of soccer, that's a great crossover in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, you know, probably a few teams that wouldn't mind having that speed, you know, on the striker position if he finds the ability to finish. But for sure, I think you get a lot of these guys, they're competitive. That's what drives them to be so good at one sport when you put them in another sport. That competitiveness isn't just going to go away. They still want to be the best. So, you know, it might not be immediate. It might take a little bit longer, but eventually they're going to be pretty good at whatever they decide to do.
Yep, absolutely. Well, here's something cool. Before we get to some of the great equipment and some of the great experts down here at United Sport and Cycle, here's something cool that went down in Major League Baseball. They went out and asked a bunch of the MLB players who they think, what other athletes from other sports, who they think could play baseball. And it was pretty cool, man. So all these Major League Baseball players, okay, man, I think this guy could play. I think this guy could play. Here's a list of some of the guys, Connor. I wanted to run by you to see what you think. So Odell Beckham. Got 18 votes, which he was the number one guy. He got the most votes out of anybody in terms of an athlete that could maybe transition into baseball. Tom Brady was another one, and I don't know if a lot of people know this, but Tom Brady was also drafted by the Expos, right? 5 years before the Patriots signed him, so that's pretty interesting. Russell Wilson, again, also went in the MLB draft, selected by the Rockies. Another was getting away from baseball a little bit, or football. LeBron, Rafael Nadal, and Ovechkin are players that MLB players thought might be able to make the transition. What do you think of that list?
Well, I mean, for LeBron, I don't know. I mean, is there too many 6'8" baseball players? I mean, as a pitcher, I guess we've seen that before. That's interesting. I'd like to see Alexander Ovechkin make the transition. I don't know how many Russian-born baseball players make the major leagues, but that'd be fun. The guy you start off with, Odell Beckham Jr., I think his ability to track down balls, you throw him in the outfield, maybe at shortstop, I think that's something you could see happen. That's cool to see, though. It's fun to see what the major leaguers think, you know, whose skills might transition into Major League Baseball.
Yep, and I thought that was fun. Getting back to our text question of the day, who is the greatest multi-sport athlete of all time? Let us know, 10-12-60. Getting back to United Sport and Cycle here, we know that player safety and athlete safety is important at every single level. We are here with Clark. Clark, if I were to ask you this question, our text question of the day, who do you think is the greatest multi-sport athlete? Would anybody come to mind?
Bo knows.
Bo knows. Connor, he's hands down the number one selection today, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, he was just, you know, I think the legacy with Bo is what could have been. Well, I mean, right. We saw the injuries kind of made both careers a little shorter than they should have been, but what could have been? He could have been dominant at both sports.
Absolutely. Well, listen, one of the great things about United Sport and Cycle are the experts and their knowledge base. Clark, we talk about safety for athletes. We're talking about it today. But when we get out on the streets, we're riding our bikes, I'm really, really blown away at the helmet technology today and what the average person can now get into for their kids or for themselves.
For sure, yeah. It's kind of changed. So we stopped talking about, you know, any helmet's going to protect your head from, you know, that traumatic injury of, you know, cracking your head open and that kind of thing. And now we're starting to talk about concussions, and that whole CTE conversation is now starting to come over to bikes. So we're slowly starting to see things like MIPS come out over the last couple of years. Bontrager has now just come out with a new technology that was tested by Virginia Tech called WaveCell. So that's kind of the newest big thing that's come out on the market. And what that's just meant to do is it's meant to, just like the MIPS, move with your head, but it's also meant to compact, crush before the actual impact of the helmet takes it.
So like in a car accident, sort of like a crash zone, like what do they call it, like a breakdown zone?
Exactly, or? Yeah, exactly. So now what you're seeing is Virginia Tech did this study, and they're finding that these wave cell helmets are 1.2% of people are now finding and getting concussion-like symptoms, versus in the past you're seeing, you know, numbers, astronomical numbers, right, of everyone getting a concussion-like symptom, and those numbers are drastically decreased now.
Yeah, and it's available to everybody now. This is what excites me. Of course, the MIPS, you guys, and what Clark is talking about is a new technology inside of bike helmets that is helping us prevent the severity of head injuries in cycling, which is fantastic. We're also seeing this now leak into football, any of the contact sports. We're starting to see it in these ideas creep into hockey helmets as well, Clark. So I think we're sort of on still on the front edge of this sort of technology getting into pro sport, don't you think?
Of course, for sure. Yeah, I mean, the big thing coming out in hockey a few years ago was, you know, a concussion-proof helmet. And there's no such thing as a concussion-proof helmet, right? But we're trying to bridge that gap and get it as close to zero as possible now.
Yeah, great. No, thanks for that, Clark. Again, Clark and all the experts down here at United Sport and Cycle, they're the best in the business. So you have questions, hey, they're now open on the West End at the Community Store, 108th Ave, 170th Street. Thanks, Clark, for that.
No problem.
Congratulations on the store here.
Thanks.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. So, Connor, there's another example of you know, sort of technology getting into sport to, you know, improve athlete safety, much like what Easton's doing with the bat. We're seeing that kind of technology now in helmets for cycling in virtually every single sport.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's kind of a very cool thing that these companies are doing. You know, you can adapt certain aspects of safety from one sport and bring it to another, because I mean, it really doesn't matter whatever sport you're in, there is always going to be a risk, there's going to be injuries that happen, and if you're able to, you know, borrow technologies from another sport to help yours, you got to do it.
Yep, absolutely. No question about it. Connor, hey, as we wrap up, let's get to a couple interesting things here to finish up our greatest multi-sport athlete of all time. Some of the other great people, you know, we talk about oh, yes, and we just got a note in from a listener, and he's on the top of my list. Danny Ainge, who actually just had a heart attack as GM of the Celtics. Another great, great multi-sport athlete, baseball and basketball. Played for the Blue Jays, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, and, you know, just a kind of a very talented human being in general. I mean, playing two professional sports is one thing, winning a championship as an NBA player, and then doing the same as an executive and being a very good general manager with the Boston Celtics. You hope he's doing okay after suffering that heart attack, but yeah, it's another great pick.
Yep, absolutely. I want to thank that for that input right there. I have to mention Dave Winfield. I know Dave Winfield, of course, being with the Blue Jays all that time. 12-time All-Star, Hall of Famer in Major League Baseball. He was also drafted in football, baseball, and basketball. One of those very special three-sport professional draft athletes. And, you know, you get back to the conversation on LeBron, Connor. I was lucky enough to be there for the experience of Mark Hendrickson, who was an NBA player that made the transition into baseball. He went into pitching, and it was interesting to watch him sort of go through the minor league transitions and have to go through the hardships. The one interesting thing about Mark Hendrickson, he did make it to the big leagues, and he pitched quite successfully there. He actually at one point, early in his baseball career, when we were doing our strength and conditioning programs, he said that the schedule in the NBA was a picnic compared to what happens in baseball, and he was in the minor leagues at that time. How about that?
I mean, Major League Baseball or even minor league, it's a long schedule and a lot of bus rides, so I believe it.
Absolutely. Yeah, great stuff. Hey, I just want to get to one more thing here. Clark's joining us again.
Yeah.
All right. And I just wanted to get to this. One other thing that's really interesting down here, you know, if you're buying a new baseball glove, it's baseball season. And by the way, everybody, next week we are going to have a must listen baseball show as we visit with Jamie Reed of the Texas Rangers about injuries in sport and specialization. Clark, really, really quickly in like 30, 40 seconds. Hey, just breaking in a glove and the steam system. I'm really digging this.
Yeah. So times of sleeping with it under your pillow, breaking in with a softball, hockey lace wrapping around it are over. Basically, you got a big glove steamer. It's kind of just like a sauna for your glove. We'll throw it in for a minute to 2-3 minutes, depending on what kind of leather is in your glove. Basically, just cuts the glove sweat a little bit. Take a big mallet to it, break it down, smash it around a little bit, and that way when you get home and you start playing catch out on the driveway, it's all fully broken in, and it's nice for you to play catch with right
Can
away.
Can I bring my old glove in for that?
For sure, yeah.
Love it.
Bring it in. We'll steam it up here at the West Store, no problem. You buy a new glove with us, we'll steam it up, no questions asked.
Thanks so much for that, Clark. Just great, great stuff. And there you have it, technology for breaking in your baseball gloves so you can buy it and wear it, technology for your bats, your hockey sticks, and for our player safety in the helmets. Anything that helps improve player safety and performance at the same time, that's a win-win across the board, and it's available at all levels of sport. All right, that'll do it for the show today. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. We had a great, great time recording down here at the grand opening of United Sport and Cycle. So great to be on location, interacting with everybody, and having a ton of fun. Thanks for having us out. Coming up next week on Crush Performance, a really important show. We're over 1 month into the Major League Baseball season. We're going to take a look back on the first month at the storylines, our teams, our players, and to see what's happening in the league. But we're also going to talk with Jamie Reed, the Senior Director of Medical Operations for the Texas Rangers, about a very, very important topic, especially in the sport of baseball, player health. Injury rates are on the rise at every single level of the game, and it's got to change. We're going to talk about what's happening, why it's happening, and how you can protect yourself and your players from these incredibly disturbing trends we're seeing in the game of baseball. So tune in, a very important conversation coming up next week. And not just for baseball players and baseball organizations, there's a message here for every single sporting organization out there, a real important conversation. Make sure you join us. So we'll talk to you then right here on Crush Performance. We're here to help you think like an athlete.
Radio Influence strives to bring you excellence in podcasting. We work with personalities like TV chef Brian Duffy, radio personalities like Ian Beckles and DJ Eakin, news and political pundits like Law and Crime Network's Vincent Hill, and independent journalists Frank and Tracy Beans, experts from the sports world like veteran football scout and coach Chris Landry, pro wrestling personality David Penzer, MMA experts Jason Floyd and Daniel Galvan, and strength and conditioning coach Jeff Crochelle. If you're looking for food, sports, music, entertainment, politics, no matter the topic, Radio Influence has something for everyone. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.